That's great. Please sit down and turn back to Isaiah 9 that we're going to look with together. Unto us a child is born. You can't have Christmas without referring to that wonderful prophecy from Isaiah. But I thought this year we'd do things a little bit differently through Advent and Christmas. You might have noticed, you've been coming here regularly, that each year we rotate through a gospel. So between spring and Easter, over spring rather, between Christmas and Easter during the spring term, we look at a different gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And that enables us to spend Christmas and Easter in that same gospel. But every 4 years, that means you come to a problem. You come to Mark's gospel next spring term. In January, we'll be looking at Mark together. And Mark doesn't have Christmas. There is no Christmas in Mark's gospel. So what do we do? Well, what I thought we'd do this year is, through Advent and then Christmas, is look at some of the Old Testament prophecies that point to Jesus. And so we have this one, the famous one in Isaiah 9. And the first thing we see is that it's addressed to people living in darkness. Verse 2 tells us, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." The context into which Isaiah is speaking is one of hopelessness. It seems as if God's people are at the end. The Assyrians have come. The Assyrian Empire was the great superpower of the time. They'd come, sweeping everything before them. The northern kingdom of Israel had been completely conquered and taken off into exile. By the way, that explains what the reference to Zebulun and Naphtali, because when Assyria came and conquered Israel, the first tribes to go, the first areas of Israel to be conquered right in the far north of Israel, was Zebulun and Naphtali. Isaiah there is saying that the region of what is known as Galilee in the New Testament, in the north, that was the region to be captured first, so that was the region that was going to first hear the good news of the Messiah. But anyway, back in Isaiah's day, after conquering Israel, the Assyrians had then bulldozed their way through Judah into the south. And at this stage, only Jerusalem remains. And the situation is darkness. It feels hopeless and helpless. And we mustn't forget that Christmas can be a time of great darkness for many people too. The pain maybe of broken relationships feels that much more acutely at Christmas, doesn't it? Than any other time of the year. And even while we enjoy the company of others around the table, maybe as we celebrate Christmas, there are those who have died who are no longer with us. Christmas can be for many a time of darkness. Tim Thornborough, who works for a Christian publisher, he first noticed when he tried to change bank, this is a few years ago, he started to go with a new bank, how many people dislike Christmas. It was First Direct at the time, the telephone and internet only bank. And as this woman on the phone was signing him up to his new bank, she boasted of the fact that we are a 24 hours a day, 365 days a year organization. And he said, well, every day, even Christmas Day. And the woman said, yeah, no, when the schedule for the year goes out in March, and the Christmas slots are some of the first to be taken. There are people who are eager to work on Christmas Day, not for the double pay, but because they can't bear to be at home on Christmas Day. The TV oozes glitz and good cheer and feasting and fun, but for many it doesn't deliver, and it's a time of darkness. And of course, for many in the Middle East today, this very year, Christmas is going to be very similar to what the Jews experienced. They too see soldiers outside, inside the city. Must seem very dark if you live in Aleppo or other cities in Syria or Iraq. So at Christmas, as I would say, do not ignore the darkness. We're going to think about the great light and the warmth in the moment, but that only comes when God's people, when the world, first of all, faces the darkness. A few weeks ago, we sang carols this week, but a few weeks ago we joined with the council as the lights are switched on in Rainer's Lane, and it was a good thing to do, I support that, but let's be honest, that the lights did seem a little pathetic in comparison with, say, Regent Street or Oxford Street. But nevertheless, the Christmas lights can be a temptation, can't they? That they distract, as Christmas does, from the real. We've been thinking the Advent candles point towards Christmas Day, when we light the big candle, which declares that Jesus is the light of the world. And we've got to be careful that our Christmas lights aren't distracting us from that, covering over how real people feel. When I moved to Australia, I read Bill Bryson's book, Down Under, as a sort of a foreigner's insight into Australia, to learn about what it'd be like living there. And one observation he makes about Sydney was very perceptive. Most homes in Sydney are single story, they're like bungalows, and they're usually quite long. And that means that particularly in the evenings, the room where maybe the family are, the kitchen, etc., is at the back of the house, and the garden's at the back of the house. So if you're walking along the street, it's quite likely there to be no lights showing at the front of the house. So if you walk in the middle of the night down a Sydney street, it often just feels very dark, because everyone's having a nice time in the back of the house where the lights are, but in the street it's dark. And for many people, Christmas can be like that. As it were, the bright lights on the Christmas tree are a distraction. We have a merry time, but we're just trying to ignore the darkness. Well, Isaiah says, don't do that. Face it. Because when we do, there is great hope. Verse 5 looks ahead to a time of total peace. I'm sure the people of Syria would love to hear this. That time when every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. So Isaiah was saying, how can we really celebrate Christmas until genuine peace comes to pass? But there is good news, as we've seen. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You, speaking of the Lord, have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. The warriors rejoice when dividing their plunder. There is a great message to celebrate at Christmas. Isaiah is not at all suggesting that we should all be sad and not celebrate Christmas. There is good reason. But he gives us a prayer to pray for everyone struggling to understand Christmas, that it will finally dawn on them. See, Isaiah does call us to celebrate. He calls God's people to have a great party, like when the harvest is brought in, or like when the war is won. See, the words Isaiah writes are really profound. He writes in the past tense, notice. He's talking about things in the past, but he's talking about a future event. This hasn't happened yet, but Isaiah is so confident that the Lord will act, he speaks almost as if it has already happened. So the fact that people are in darkness should not prevent us from celebrating the light. As long as we remember those in darkness in our celebrations. As long as we remember the fact that Isaiah is talking about the hope of the future that we celebrate. We celebrate not because the harvest has fully come in yet, but because of Christmas we know it will. Not because the war has ended yet, but because of Easter we know that it will. And the same is true of the darkness we experience in our own relationships too, isn't it? At Christmas we celebrate God's initiative of healing restored relationships in the world. That in Christ all sin, sickness, death even can be dealt with. But that doesn't mean that we experience all of Isaiah's fulfillment. Now that's why this time of year is known as Advent, because we are thinking not only of Christ's first coming, but also of his second coming, that he will return and all of this will fully come to pass. That's why Christians use the word faith. It means we are trusting in God, not faith in the sense of believing without any evidence, far from it. In Jesus Christ at Christmas, we have evidence of God's promises being true. But we trust him because of the evidence of his birth, his life, his teaching, and the death and resurrection of Jesus, that he is bringing all these things to the completion. So Christmas can be a time of great joy because we're looking ahead to when this all will fully come to pass. So how is God going to bring all these amazing things to pass? Well, incredibly, through a little baby. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Again, we see here the utter confidence the prophet has in God's sovereign actions, in his ways. You see that Isaiah makes no reference to the boy growing up. His birth is enough for Isaiah. As far as Isaiah is concerned, the child is born, that's it. Nothing more to say. But Isaiah, we say, how can you have that confidence? How can a baby bring about an everlasting kingdom? Isaiah doesn't care. Such is his confidence. The mere birth of the baby is enough for him. Christmas is not heaven. But for the prophet, it is enough for him to make heaven sure. It's enough for his confidence that heaven is coming. Indeed, the main point that Isaiah is making here is only God can bring light into the darkness. Only God can do this. We may marvel and say, how can you bring about everlasting global peace through a little baby? But that is the point. If we were doing this, we couldn't achieve that. Only God can. Political solutions are good, but they cannot fundamentally fix human problems. Education alone, human endeavor alone, they cannot fix what is dark in the world. That's why Isaiah says, he will reign, this Messiah, Jesus, on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. That is the only way this will be achieved, through the zeal of the Lord Almighty. Christmas, most of all, is God at work. We cannot fix the problems of our world, even the problems of our lives. Only God can. And again, incidentally, that's why Isaiah alludes to the Midianites in verse 4, remember? He says, for as in the day of Midian's defeat. Why does he particularly think of Midian being defeated? Well, we know, we studied Judges together last year, we know the story of Gideon and the way that Gideon was told to send away all until he only had 300 men. And with 300 men alone, they defeated the Midianites. So Isaiah is reminding God's people, it's not the numbers that count. God can do anything. 300 men, a little baby. It is God at working that really counts. The whole miraculous scene of the Midianites is to remind them that the battle belongs to the Lord. And as we've seen, the significant thing also about Gideon's victory was that it was the people, if you read Judges 6 and 7, it was the people of Zebulun and Naphtali. They were the first to call to join in to fight the Midianites. So back then, it was the men of Galilee who first experienced God's liberation. Which makes it so interesting when you read to the Gospels that the people in the first century Israel looked down on Jesus that he came from Nazareth. We're supposed to read the irony in the Gospel writers' voices as they write the Gospels. And all these people are pouring scorn on Jesus because he was born in Bethlehem, but he first began his ministry in Galilee. In Nazareth. But the people should have been looking for that. They should have been expecting that the first place that people saw God's liberation was in Galilee, was in Nazareth in the north. But that means we shouldn't be surprised today if many people still despise Jesus for the same reasons. He's just a little baby. He can't do anything. He comes from Nazareth. In the north. Now his very credentials of being God's very light to the world in a dark world are the very things that will put some people off. We should expect that. But there's no doubt in Isaiah's mind, this is God at work. Looking at the titles in verse 6, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All of them are claims to divinity. This is not just a mere man who's a descendant of David. Isaiah is using terms that can only refer to God. Wonderful, that means supernatural. Supernatural counselor. Mighty God needs no explanation that he's calling the Messiah Jesus Mighty God. Everlasting Father. What does it mean to call a baby boy Everlasting Father if there is not more to him than just being a child? And Prince of Peace links not just with human government, but the divine rule of peace. Peace means shalom. It is more than just absence of war. It is prosperity. It is paradise. It is life as God intended it to be lived. So Isaiah says at this Advent time, for to us, a child is born. We can't fix our problems. We can't solve the evils of the world. But our only hope is the supernatural help of this Son of whom Isaiah points to. So this Christmas, let's receive the best gift of all, Jesus Christ, and trust in him for his help to put right the darkness in our own lives and the darkness in the world. And this Christmas, hold out that light, that hope in the supernatural Son of God to others. Jesus is the greatest gift of all, the Son who is given, to whom Isaiah points. Let's pray and then we'll share communion together. Heavenly Father, as we pause before your word, we pray this Christmas time that we won't allow the light, as it were, to distract us from the true light who is Jesus. We pray that we might celebrate Christmas confidently, but without ignoring the darkness. And if there are ways that we can show practical compassion to others around who are experiencing darkness this Christmas, make that clear to us. And if there are ways in which we can point others to Jesus who is the light, help us to do that too. And we pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.